Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever felt like a monster? Maybe it was something you did, something bad. It may have been a one-time thing or something you've done often. Or it could be something you thought. Like you've had thoughts so ugly, you just felt gross. Or it might be how someone else made you feel. So not so much something you've done, but there was someone who called you, well, you know what they called you, and it made you feel like a monster. We're doing this series where we're taking a close look at Jesus. We're trying to better understand who Jesus really was. What did he do? And today I want to know this. I want to know, what does Jesus do with a monster? So let's look at this story from Jesus' life. It's in Mark chapter 5, where we meet this guy who everyone considered a monster. Mark chapter 5, starting verse 3. It says, this man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This guy's story is also told by Luke in the book of Luke. Luke lets us in on an interesting detail that Mark chose not to include. Luke tells us that this guy never wore any clothing. I guess Mark was going for a PG rating. Luke didn't mind if he got the PG-13. So this guy was all nude all the time. I mean, this guy was naked. He was so naked. You at home watching this, you should, when I say he was so naked, you should say, how naked was he? Okay, so I'll do that again. He was so naked. How naked was he? He was so naked that he was underdressed at a nudist colony. He was so naked that he had to put clothes on to go skinny dipping. He was so naked that when he was young, all the other kids called him, well, naked. Are you getting what I was saying? This guy was naked. The guy lived in the graveyard among the tombs, and we learn here in Mark that he would cut himself with stones, and so he was bloody. I mean, he was so bloody. How bloody was he? He was so bloody that he had his own blood type named after him. He was so bloody that Dracula considered him an all-you-can-eat buffet. He was so bloody that when he was young, all the other kids called him, well, bloody. Are you understanding me? This guy was naked and he was bloody. Not only that, but he was mean. It says that he would tear the chains off. They couldn't chain him anymore. People couldn't subdue him. And he was so mean. How mean? Well, he was so mean that he couldn't even get hired as a postal worker. He was too mean for them. He was so mean that he didn't even cry when he saw E.T. He was so mean that when he was young, the other kids called him, hey, meanie. This guy was mean. Like, his theme song would be like Born to be Wild. Rick James might sing, he's the kind of guy you don't bring home to mama. Super freak. Super freak and super freaky. Ow. If this guy showed up at a James Taylor concert and James started singing You've Got a Friend and saw him in the audience, he'd have to stop singing the song. In this guy's senior yearbook, he was probably named the person most likely to strangle your cat and to start a world war. Seriously, this guy was scary. Like the kind of guy who, like, when he finally dies, everyone just breathes a sigh, whew, of relief, and no one shows up at the funeral. Check that. They wouldn't have a funeral. To everyone in this town, he was considered a monster. Well, in Mark chapter 4, the previous chapter, Jesus is on this side of a lake and he's teaching people, but he says to his 12 disciples, to his little posse of closest followers, he says, hey, let's go to the other side of the lake. And they're kind of like, well, that's weird. I don't see why we need to go over there, but oh, okay, I guess. And they travel across the lake through a furious storm that comes up, and they nearly die crossing that lake. So I imagine the disciples were probably thinking, man, I hope Jesus has a really good reason to come over to this side because that trip was horrible. Finally, they arrive at the other side, and look what Mark writes in verse 2. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. So that our born to be wild guy comes running down at them. And I'm sure the friends, the disciples are like, ah, naked bloody super freak. Let's get away from this monster. Let's get out of here. But Jesus, I mean, it was like he could see into people. And so he would have just calmly responded, he may be naked and he may be bloody. He may even be a super freak, but he is no monster. He is hurting. He is a man in misery. He's got some problems, but today I can set him free. The disciples saw this guy. They looked at his outward appearance and thought, this is the welcoming committee for the town? This is the best they've got? They said, we need to get away from this guy. But Jesus was like, no, he's actually the reason we came. Jesus saw the same scary outward appearance. And I think Jesus was able to know even more. He knew all the things this guy had done wrong in his life. But here's the good news. Not just for this guy who lived 2,000 years ago, but for you and for me. The one who knows us best loves us most. And Jesus saw past this man's appearance, past his sin, and he loved him. And let's check out what happens next. It says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. I have some questions about this, don't you? Like I don't know about the whole demon thing. That's different. But even more, why did Jesus send the demons into the pigs? I don't know. But I wonder if part of it is that Jesus was trying to show that man and the entire community and you and me that this smelly, dirty, rotten monster of a man was worth more than 2,000 pigs. And everyone thought this guy was worthless, but Jesus proved that he was worth at least more than 2,000 pigs. Do you know that in today's market, 2,000 pigs sell for well over $100,000. And pigs were, I think, even more valuable back then. This guy was worth more than 2,000 pigs, but how much more? Well, Jesus set his worth much more precisely when he died for him on the cross. The Bible says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And then it says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So how much was this guy worth? How much are you worth? Jesus gave his life for him and for you. Can you imagine how this guy, who everyone thought was a monster, felt realizing that Jesus, God in the flesh, saw him, saw into him, and loved him? And forget him. How does that make you feel? To know that God sees into you. He knows everything about you. And he loves you and gave himself for you. That is life-changing, isn't it? Let's continue in our story, verses 14 and 15. It says, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, I love that one line, the man was dressed and in his right mind. Can you picture him? Everyone comes running up, and he's like, hello there. And how are you today? Nice to see everyone. Could I take your coat? Anyone care for a cold beverage? And one little girl says, isn't he the guy who killed my cat? Yeah, maybe. But he was a changed man. And the great news is that you can experience the same kind of victory that this man had in his life. He realized that there is power in the name of Jesus, and therefore Jesus' power came into and changed his life. And Jesus can do the same for you. What area in life are you getting defeated right now? Whatever it is, not wanting to be single anymore, or maybe you're married and it's your marriage, or your finances, or your kids, whatever it is, you need to understand that Jesus can bring you victory, but you need to recognize his power and submit to it. If you would just fall to your knees like this guy did and humble yourself like he did and say, Jesus, you are Son of the Most High God. I will follow you. Go to work on me. I am hurting. I need your help. Do what you will. Like, I want you at the center of my life. I give my life to you. Jesus will change your life. And what he's done for this man, what he did for me, he will do for you. Maybe my biggest question when I read this story is where at the end of verse 15, it says they were afraid. Let's read verses 16 and 17. After it says they were afraid, it says those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Jesus just took care of the monster of their community. And instead of throwing a party and saying, thank you, you're our hero. Like, we can actually feel safe now. Thank you. Instead, they say, we want you to leave. And we would like you to leave now. We want you out of our town. And I wonder, what would make people prefer pigs and monsters over the presence of God? You ever wonder that? Or better yet, what causes people to prefer to be unhappy and unfulfilled over finding the joy that they're seeking? And what causes people to prefer to continue to struggle to create their own sense of self-worth based on what they do when they can live their lives in light of the fact that they matter to God? What causes people to prefer pigs and monsters to the presence of the Savior? So these people, they were a lot like us, right? We might think, you know, they're acting like real fools here, but they struggled with the same kind of things that we struggle with. Apparently, they cared more about the pigs and about the financial loss they had just suffered than they did about what could have been this incredible joyful, life-changing event. How about you? Do you care more about your finances? Do you care more about retaining your sense of self-control? Do you care more about what people might think about you? Maybe than you do about actually experiencing the joy and satisfaction your soul has been yearning for, because you know that there's something more. Why did they ask Jesus to leave? Part of it, I think, maybe was financial, but it was probably more than just financial. Another reason, I think, is just like all of us, they feared change. They feared change. Don't you fear the unknown? But perhaps you don't have a relationship with Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, your forgiver and your leader in life. And you know that he's inviting you feel that, but you say, man, I don't know. It might be too much. And Jesus comes to you and he says, listen, if you're willing to commit your life to me, I have a great plan for you, a great adventure set out for you. So why do you fight it? Jesus says, you can base your sense of self-worth on the fact that God created you and that you matter to him and that I died for you. Jesus is talking to you. Jesus can do that for you. He can bring you victory. He can supply you with self-worth. But the question is, do you want him to change your life? Or do you prefer swine over the Savior? Jesus can change your life. And the cool news is that not only does he want to change your life, but after that, he wants to use you to change the world. That's how valuable he thinks you are. So, little trivia for you Bible scholars. I don't know if we got any Bible scholars, but if we do, do you know who the first ever Christian missionary was? Any guess? You probably figure it was some really good guy, some really smart guy, a guy without any personal problems. Because a lot of us are like, man, I can't tell people about Jesus because I have all these personal problems I'm struggling with, and I don't know if I'd have all the answers if someone asked me a question. Do you know who the first missionary Jesus ever sent out was? This guy, the naked, bloody super freak, a man who was not a monster. He was just hurt, a man who just needed to experience transformation in his life through the power of Jesus. First guy Jesus ever sends out with the message of hope that he brings. Check it out. In verse 18, it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. So Jesus is getting in the boat, and this guy is like, I am so full of gratitude, I want to follow you. And that has to be pretty tempting for Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus, he's kind of like a traveling preacher. And you know, traveling preachers, kind of like the Billy Graham type, they will often have someone give a testimony when they preach, and this guy would have been great, right? Jesus could have brought him around from town to town, and each place Jesus could have had him stand up, and before Jesus gave his sermon, this guy could have given his testimony. He could have been like, once I was a naked, bloody super freak, and all the people would have seen him and been like, no way, tell us more. And he said, but now I don't go around so nudie-tootie. And the people were like, go on, preach it. And he said, I ain't so bloody no more, except for when I cut myself shaving. They would have been like, that's right. And he said, and I ain't so super freaky. I'm a changed man because of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? This guy would have been great as a traveling testimony for Jesus. But Jesus says, no. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, which means the 10 cities in that area, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. See, Jesus knew that this man's testimony, his story about what Jesus had done in his life, would be so much more powerful if it was given to people who knew him back when he was a naked, bloody super freak. And Jesus thought so highly of this guy that he wanted to use him to change the world. And by sending him to people who knew him before, well, he was going to have a greater impact, right? Then when this guy gave his testimony, he'd be like, "Once I was a naked, bloody super freak." And all the people would be like, "Trust us, we know, we remember." And he would say, "But now I don't go around nudie tootie." And all the people would be like, "Thank God that changed." And he would say, "And I ain't so bloody no more." And everybody would be like, "We noticed." And he'd say, "And I ain't so super freaky. I'm a changed man because of Jesus Christ." And this man came to faith in Jesus, and instantly, Jesus made him a missionary. This guy didn't know a whole lot. His life was not perfect yet, but he could tell people that he had met Jesus, and he could live in such a way that would demonstrate that Jesus has the power to change a person's life. And you know what? God has the exact same plan for you. When you came to faith in Christ, or if you have come to faith in him, you instantly become a missionary. You may not know a whole lot or have a perfect life yet, but you can tell people that you've met Jesus. And you can live in such a way that demonstrates that Jesus has the power to change a life. You are not a monster. You are a missionary of Jesus who can change the world. And our church is not like a club for people to come to, but it is a mission from which people are sent out to show and to tell the world about the love and power of Jesus. And if we do that, man, some really cool things will happen. Just like with this naked, bloody super freak guy. You know, he'd give his testimony to those people, and they would all say, "This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You are a changed man. How can I experience that in my life? And what can Jesus do for me?" And you know, that's a question that you and I probably should ask as well. How can I experience this in my life? What can Jesus do for me? Well, look what he did for this man. He crossed a lake in a furious storm. He showed him that he was worth more than 2,000 pigs. He healed him and changed him and gave him victory. He made him a missionary and used him to change the world. And then on the cross, Jesus died for him. And Jesus would go to any length to find you and to let you know that to Jesus, you are worth way more than 2,000 pigs. Jesus wants to heal and change you and give you victory, and Jesus would love to give your life purpose and direction and use you to change the world. And Jesus died for you. And if you want to experience all of that in your life, if you want to begin an authentic, real relationship with Jesus, do you know what God asks you to do? In a word, surrender. God asks us just to surrender to him, to just completely give our lives to him, to say, "God, I trust you. I want you to take over my life. Lead me. I'm giving my life to you." And if you're ready to do that, tell him. And if you do, would you tell us? We would love to know that you made that decision and to walk with you in your next steps. In fact, we have this great kind of a class. It's fun. Class doesn't sound fun. Called Next Step. And it just walks with you through the next steps of living life, following Jesus in a relationship with God. And you could let us know that you want to go to Next Step. And in fact, go to the virtual lobby today and you'll hear more about Next Step. And we offer it over and over online. You could take that and learn how God can be so real in your life. For now, let's pray. And maybe it's time for some of us just to surrender our lives to him. Let's pray. God, what an incredible story. And what an incredible change you made in this man's life. God, what an incredible change you've made in my life. Maybe there's someone watching right now who needs that same change, who feels like I need victory, God. I need healing. I think of myself as a monster, and I don't want to think of myself that way anymore. So God, we just surrender our lives to you. God, we put our faith in Jesus and his power to change our lives. God, would you just receive our lives and take control and help us, God, to take next steps with you. Thank you for loving us that much, for forgiving us and for giving us life, new life. We pray in the name of the one who came to give it to us, to die for us so we could have it. In Jesus' name, amen.